And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right. What up, boy? What up, yeah?
What you know about Ray Meyer, the mad scientist of basketball who saw this clumsy seven-footer and taught him footwork and agility and touch around the basket and how to stand tall on the court, developing this George Mikan fella into a basketball pioneer?
What you know about
jumping Jim Pollard from Oakland, who was touching up top of backboards in the 40s?
What you know about
the clutchness of Sam Jones, the rebellious creativity of Red Auerbach, how Bill Russell organized a camp in Mississippi to help race relations after Medgar Evers was murdered?
What you know about
the origins of the Showtime Lakers being a nightclub in Santa Monica called The Horn? Or how Paul Westhead almost killed the dynasty before it got started?
What you know about
Chuck Daly? About number 8 Kobe? About the Silicon Valley influence on the NBA? In my new book, Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever, we take a look at the NBA's grand history through the lens of its dominant teams and dominant players. How not only each dynasty was built on the previous one, but how these legendary basketball teams even impacted society almost as much as the game. With popping illustrations from Yu-Ming Kwan, Dynasties is a gorgeous addition to your bookshelf or your coffee table. It is the perfect collector's item, both for NBA fans who want to journey through history and casual fans who want to learn more about this league they can't get enough of. Get your copy of Dynasties today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Target, Walmart, or wherever you buy books.
What you know about
Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever, wherever you buy books.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show.
All right, here we go. And it is another edition of Hoops with Jason on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C., out in the Bay, our man, Marcus Thompson. What is up, sir?
Oh, man, your weather out here, bro. I don't know what you're doing.
No, it's cloudy and cold today.
Yeah, that's what we got.
We got Bay weather,
man.
Up here.
Yeah, it's all bad. It's raining.
Yep.
But brothers got to pull out their rain boots and everything. Like, get that out, man.
I don't like this
life.
That's what you do. That's what y'all do out there. We'll talk about the very hot dubs, but we got to bring in our guest because he's on that tight road schedule. Our man Tony Jones, who covers the Utah Jazz so well for us at The Athletic. T to the J. What's up, man?
What's up? I'm expecting like the voiceover to be like, and for that you win a free toaster.
hey, hold on.
I was waiting for that for the introduction. For me.
What's with this road schedule business? I thought everything went according to Tony's schedule.
I thought he set
the schedule. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely did not send this schedule. Trust me.
I thought they called you.
I will have been on the road for 11 days.
Called you and was like, yo, what time can we have practice?
Okay. Yes. Yes. That's what I thought. You're the one, Marcus, who sets everything up. So
exactly.
You're good.
Talking to Bob Myers all for hours and hours. Yes. He's pouring his heart out.
Just coming. Hey, you know, I'm sorry I didn't get to the pod, guys. I mean, I just had Bob Myers on, and, you know, he was, you know, I just couldn't get him off.
Y'all wilding, bro.
I love it. Hey, let's talk about the Jazz, your squad. You wrote a great piece in The Athletic on Tuesday about the Jazz off to another great start. And of course, everything with Utah, as you know, is tempered by, but playoffs, right? But let's look at the numbers first in opponent 3-point percentage allowed, only 24.9%. second in defensive rating, fifth in offensive rating, championship numbers. What are you seeing so far?
I think the numbers are a little skewed by the competition they face. So out of the six games they've played, they've gotten Oklahoma City, they've gotten Houston. With all respect to how well the Sacramento Kings are playing at this point, they've gotten the Sacramento Kings.
The Kings hate? Wow.
See, did you just hear me say, with all respect?
I blanked all that out.
When somebody says, with all due respect,
I just
what
did the Mark Jackson. With all due respect. Okay. I just did the Mark Jackson, okay? So, I mean, I'll go further. They got Denver without Jokic for a half. They got Milwaukee without four-fifths of their starting lineup. They've played one really good full-strength team so far, and that was the Chicago Bulls. And in that game, they didn't have Mike Conley. So, you know, the shorthanded. They were shorthanded on their side. So, you know, I think my eyes are telling me that they're defending better on the perimeter than they have in the past. My eyes definitely tell me that they're a tougher team. Like Eric Paschal and Hassan Whiteside, like they make them a tougher team. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, I could say that in game 20 about Hassan Whiteside, right. You know.
Exactly.
but for six games, he's been like this, like he's been great, like through six games.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think they're going to get the Hawks twice in a week. They're going to get Miami twice. So by next Friday, they will have played the Atlanta Hawks twice and the Miami Heat twice. So, yeah. They're going to see some difficult opponents, and it'll be interesting to see, how they deal with a lot the physicality that Miami brings, that some of the wings in Atlanta brings, because Hunter is really physical on both ends of the floor. John Collins is really good defensively and on both ends of the floor. But, you know, they haven't shot the ball well, but they've defended well. They've, you know, Rudy Gobert, I mean, like I wrote today, Rudy Gobert is playing at a pretty all-time level for him so far. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Jazz navigate through a tougher portion of the schedule.
So Tony, you are very open to being honest about what you're seeing. you will say exactly what you think, no matter who likes it or not. And at the end of last year, you were pretty pointed about how things went down. I'm wondering.
Oh, when I said it was like when I said the Clippers and the Jazz, it was the suburban team against the hood team.
you just didn't seem to be you wasn't standing up giving the Jazz a golf clap for their playoff for their hustle and effort at the end of the year. You I'm just curious, like you saw this team in the playoffs and they didn't do much to change this thing around. How it doesn't really matter what happens in the regular season with them. It really depends on can they get to a championship? Have they done enough from what you think, or what can this group do aside from the few additions and they're still waiting for another one? But what can this team do to actually improve upon last year without significant change?
Well, they can keep Mike Conley healthy. Mike Conley not being healthy against the Clippers was a game changer for the Jazz.
Mike Conley not being healthy is usually a game changer.
Yeah. Mike Conley not being healthy for the Jazz in that series, that was such a game changer. It's hard to put into words how important that was for the Jazz. And you know, I know the NBA public's not going to accept that explanation because you look at it and it's Mike Conley, but Mike Conley's really good. And and that was a game changer. What I was killing with the Jazz was I killed their lack of toughness in that series. Like I thought they got punked in that series physically, and I think they've done some. I think they've done some things to structurally with their roster to combat that. I know Warriors fans didn't really like him, but Eric Paschal's been a pretty good revelation for the Jazz in terms of playing with toughness, playing with energy. I just mentioned Whiteside. I really want to see what Rudy Gay adds to the conversation to that. I think the Jazz are really people I've talked to, the Jazz are really excited about him, and they think that he can be a pretty substantial piece to what they're doing. You know, they need to be healthy. They're a team that is all of the sum of their parts. If you take away one guy, if you take away any one guy, I think the Jazz are the team that's going to feel it, right? Like, if you take away Bojan Bogdanovic or Joe Ingles, there goes your spacing. If you take away Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, you're screwed regardless. If you take away Mike Conley, you're probably screwed regardless. If you take away Royce O'Neal, then boom, you don't have your guy that can guard anybody. If you take away Jordan Clarkson, then boom, there goes your scoring off the bench. I think more than any other team in this league, the Jazz are a team that needs to be whole in order to make a run. So, I think they've doubled down on trying to combat the small ball structural issues with their roster, with Rudy Gay and Paschal. I think they've made a point to try to get better defensively on the perimeter and try to guard on the perimeter. But, you know, I think the one thing I would really give the Jazz credit for is that they know, this group knows as a group that none of this stuff matters. Like, they know they can win 65 games in a regular season, it doesn't matter. And they've leaned into it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see exactly, what happens in April. But, you know, I'm interested to see if they enjoy the ride to April. You know, I'm interested to see if they, you know, enjoy the journey and enjoy the process and lean into the process. But, you know, this is a team that wants to make a deep run, and this is pretty much their singular goal this year.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
To me, Rudy Gay is the, if not the key, he is a very important part of it, because if you know, he's become a very solid defensive player. I mean, I know that Poeltl had a lot to do with the Spurs' success defensively, but if you look at the lineups with Gay and Poeltl on the floor, they were very, very good defensively in San Antonio the last couple of years. And so to me, he's a guy that can really, almost like Joe Johnson did a few years ago, if you remember that, Tony, what he did when he got there. I think Rudy Gay could do much the same thing. Because it seemed to me, tell me if I'm wrong, but it certainly looked like the Clippers were hunting those forwards. You know, they were just pick and roll, take your turn, Paul George, Terrence Mann, doesn't matter, whoever's guarding them, we're hunting. And they hunted them all successfully throughout that series. And I think Rudy could slow that down a lot when he gets back to, and he's on the court.
Yeah, you know, there's two schools of thought with Rudy Gay. And number one, when Royce O'Neal runs into a team that has more than one, when the Jazz ran into a team that had more than one perimeter offensive threat, they were screwed because Royce O'Neal could not guard everybody.
right.
And you know.
Try as he might.
Like, just can't guard, like, you know, you're playing the clutch. You can't guard Kawhi and Paul George. You know, so that was, you know, so it was one of those things where, you know, I think Rudy Gay helps to combat that. You know, but secondly, offensively, you know, and one of the reasons that Donovan Mitchell was so good in the playoffs offensively is because it becomes in the playoffs when teams scheme for you. They know every play that you're going to run. They know when and where you're going to run it. They know how you like to run it. They know what side of the floor you like to run it. They know your secondary sets. They know everything about you. The playoffs become, can this guy beat this guy? That's what playoffs are. And Donovan Mitchell thrives in that. But the Jazz's problem is, outside of Mike Conley, they don't have any other. They didn't have anybody else who thrives in that. Everybody else is system-based. You know, you gotta run your pick and rolls. You gotta run your DHOs, and you just can't do that in the playoffs.
It's just not that reliable. Right. The deeper you go,
you can't do that.
Screens ain't gonna get it done, Tony.
Exactly. So where Rudy Gay can help with this team in the playoffs offensively is, you can give him the ball, and Rudy Gay can go and get you a shot, and he can go and he can exploit mismatches, or he can, you know, you can run 1-4 pick and pop with him and get him on a small, and he can go and get you a point. He can go and get you a bucket, and he can take some of that pressure off of Donovan Mitchell, because in the playoffs, Donovan Mitchell's usage is like 45% or something like that, like astronomical. Yeah. And, you know, and Rudy Gay can really help with that. He can go and get you a bucket. So, you know, I think that, you know, he's going to come off the bench. He's not going to start, but I don't want to say I'm willing to bet. That's the wrong word. But, you know, I'm willing to think that by the time we get to where the popcorn really starts popping, for real, that Rudy Gay is probably going to be one of your five most important players on this roster.
Sure.
That might be a bit concerning.
Yeah, you know, is it though? I mean,
he's like 36 years old,
right?
Like,
so
yeah, before we're there,
we're not asking Rudy Gay to be the number one most important player on the roster. You're asking him to be the complementary piece to Conley and Mitchell offensively that they haven't had in the playoffs.
Yeah, especially when they had to go small. And I don't think they don't play. It's not like they played Gobert off the floor. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when teams go small, Utah really did not have
a counter.
Yeah. Now they have
one. They need to have a counter.
Yeah.
They need to have a counter. That's
what I'm saying. I'll say the same thing about Eric Paschal. I think as the Jazz go deeper in the playoffs, I think Eric Paschal is going to be important.
Well, that's the part about Paschal that it didn't really fit with the Warriors for the same system type reasons, but Paschal could get a bucket, bro, like that. Like, he's like, yo, clear it out. Yeah. I'm getting a bucket. Like, he got the dolphin kick, and it don't look especially, like, effective. But that dude will get you a bucket, man. Like, and when they didn't have Steph and they didn't have Clay, and it was just him, and he was, like, the ISO scorer, like, he was effective. And when he played with the Warriors, he was a backup. Like, he was best as a small ball five, because you can spread him out and give him space and just go to work. Yeah. I feel like Paschal is going to be able in a playoff setting to go get a bucket. Like, I believe that.
I think there are going to be portions in the playoffs where you're going to see this following lineup for the Jazz. You're going to see a lineup of Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Rudy Gay, Eric Paschal on the floor at the same time.
In big moments.
That's the lineup that I see the Jazz using to, you know, they run into one of those teams that says, okay, we're just going to put our 6'9" small forward at center, and we're just going to spread you out and just go to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's the lineup that the Jazz are going to have to use.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, and they do have that capability now to play you know, without Gobert on the floor and still be effective and still be able to defend, most important to me.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Now that you mentioned Conley, I mean, they definitely got him on the KG Paul Pierce plan, you know, under 30 minutes to be sure during the regular season. How concerning is it that this, I love Mike. I mean, he's a hell of a nice guy and he's a really good player. I agree with you. But how concerned are they that he just can't get to the finish line?
Yeah.
No matter what they do.
They're really concerned. I mean, and that's why, I mean, you should see the lengths that they're going right now, right? Like, there's going to be no back-to-backs for Mike this year. Like, he's not going to play. He's not going to play in back-to-backs. And he's averaging currently 27 minutes a game. That's the lowest. Yeah. That's his lowest minutes total.
He's like your grandmother's couch with the plastic.
Oh, man. Like, yes. Listen, I'm telling you, he's like the living room after everybody's cleaned up and the candles are set. Don't touch anything. Like, I done did the dishes. I done cleaned up. Right. I done vacuumed. I done lit two candles in this living room. You better not touch anything. Walk right by. Go to bed. Just go to bed. Right. Period. And, you know, the good news is, if you're a Jazz fan, Mike Conley looks amazing at this point. Yeah. Like, he looks on top of his game. He looks as good as he's looked in a Jazz uniform. But, like, they're really, like, you're not going to see 35 minutes. Even if they have to sacrifice some games, you're not going to see 35. Yeah. Like, the Jazz knew that if they didn't play Mike Conley, they very well lose that game in Chicago, and they did. And then the offense stalled, everybody, it was struggle city. And then they got him back against Milwaukee, and then boom, all of a sudden you got like a 112 offensive rating.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. I mean, he's so central to everything that they do because, you know, while Donovan is your guy that's the dynamic scorer, Mike is your table setter. And without the table setter, you see it.
Right. The table setter also shot 50% from three in the playoffs when he played last year. He was also splashing. The part about the Jazz to me that's probably the most promising is the competition. The West looks
shaky,
as vulnerable as ever.
You think so?
When you look at, come on, really.
I mean, look, real world. Kawhi's not going to be there. The Clippers are not the Clippers without Kawhi. The Nuggets are not the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. But I mean, they're still very good. Don't get me wrong.
I think the Nuggets are going to get Jamal Murray back.
Well, sure, but I'm saying right now for the large chunk of the regular season, he's not going to be there.
But the regular season, so the Nuggets struggle during the regular season. They get the seventh seed or something like that. They get Jamal Murray back. How dangerous are they If he,
they're very dangerous, but you can't assume
if you get Jamal Murray.
Yeah, you can't assume he's just going to come back and start shooting, you know, scoring 30 a night. Right. I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying you can't assume that that's what's going to happen. So I agree with Marcus. I mean, Dallas is just a vulnerability. Dallas is what, 4-2, and they're playing good, but ain't nobody scared of Dallas. Yeah, no, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely nobody's scared of Dallas this year.
And the Lakers is Joe Louis, right? Like, coming to America, like, 174 years old. Like, but if you're the Jazz, like, who, when you look at the top teams in the West, like, I feel like the Jazz will end up somehow or another with a top three seed.
Yeah, that's
what the Jazz do. Right?
Unless the Jazz lose Rudy Gobert, they'll fall into a top three.
Yeah, somebody, it will have to be something like that. But who do you see as the formidable, or do you see at like, hey, there's a window here. Phoenix kind of feels like the one team that's got it together, but then when you watch them play, they might be a little finals hungover. They haven't like click yet, but all the pieces are there. You like the pieces, and they're young and they're healthy, so you know the pieces will be there. Yeah. But the other teams feel like they gotta. I don't know. they could fall apart, right? So from the Jazz perspective, who are you thinking? Who are you most worried about, or who are the teams you probably don't want to see?
So you probably didn't mention the Warriors on purpose, but I'm going to go ahead and say the Warriors.
I mean, I just can't.
I'm just saying.
You know what I'm saying? I can't.
There was an obvious elephant in the room, and Marcus is just like, oh, well, you know, the Phoenix Suns.
There's a team. I can't think of their name.
They got this one guy. What's his name again?
Listen, the Warriors are structurally are put together structurally to give the Jazz issues. You can put Draymond at the five. You can, you know, Steph is a monster. He's on top of his game. Jordan Poole has changed the trajectory of this team with his development. And, you know, they're going to get Clay back. And even if they get 50%.
And Clay will get half a season.
Right. And even if they get 50% Clay back, you still add it to what they have right now.
50% Clay is quite a bit.
Yes.
Well, you know, 50% Clay adding to what they already have is like that.
That's pretty good.
You know, so I expect the Warriors. I honestly expect the Warriors to be there. You know, I'm never betting against LeBron James ever.
Right.
And Phoenix is really good. I don't care what their record is. They're really good.
Yeah.
Dope. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lakers will figure it out with Westbrook. They'll figure it out. I have no doubt in my mind. I will be stunned if Russell Westbrook doesn't figure out a way to be effective playing with that group. You know.
So I mean,
if he just eats innings, he's good.
Yeah, innings eater. Now, where the West gets vulnerable is when you get to that 5, 6, 7 spot. You know, those.
Yeah.
Like, so what you're going to see, I think, this year is that the top four, those first four that we mentioned. There's going to be more separation between that. And there's going to be, you know, and there's going to be less room for, you know, because in past years, you're like, well, shoot, the 7 seed could beat the 2 seed because, you know, that's how deep the West is.
I think Memphis is good. Yeah. Memphis is good.
Yeah. And I don't know if you're going to see that this year. You know, you know, those top four, I mean, listen, the Jazz ain't going to have a cakewalk. There ain't going to be no cakewalks.
Right. Right. But to Marcus's point, I think that he's trying. Well, I don't know if he's trying to make it or not, but it reminded me of the question, like, how long can they wait? How long will they wait? You know, this group's been together now for the last 3 years, basically, which is an eternity.
No, this
in the
is
NBA.
The year.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, if they don't win
I
this year,
Joe was gone. Yeah.
No, it's TNT gone. Time this if they the don't year. Win this year. Right.
And I'm going to tell you, there's a non-basketball reason why this is the year. And this is the year because next year, if the Jazz don't get out of the luxury tax, they're going to be in the repeater tax.
Ah, right. Okay.
So they weren't.
And they're not going to be.
I thought you was
going to
be like, if this is the year, if not, because I'm out. I wanted to announce that I was. You know, I thought you was about to make a grand announcement.
If this ain't the year, man, I'm sick of this.
I'm gonna go cover the Utes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
y'all
I'm a free agent with any team want a G.
Catch me in the BYU press box.
Exactly.
Nah, man.
So the new owner don't want to pay that repeater?
You know how difficult that repeater tax is?
Come on.
Yeah,
man.
I do.
Well, I know you know.
Because this guy's like, F a repeater tax.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The Jazz don't have that Golden State money.
He was like that before the pandemic. Right. Now he's like, hey, y'all, there's a lot of money.
He pulling back a little, yeah. Marcus.
I think if the Jazz come up short, I think if they lose in the first or second round this year, it becomes very, very difficult to justify this roster.
So I got to assume that if they tried to, let's say they tried to pivot or retool, have whatever euphemism you want, they're going to, you know, Mitchell and Gobert are the two guys you keep and build around.
Right. And Conley. You still keep Conley.
You keep Conley too. Yeah. Okay. I was going to ask, because he's the guy that you could go. I think you could go either way because he's still.
I don't know if you can keep him if you rebuild it.
Well, I don't think that.
If you do, you have to replace him with
somebody. You can't rebuild.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
That's just a huge salary. Well, if you start thinking of the salaries you move,
let's clarify this, Marcus. You can't rebuild with Donovan Mitchell on your roster.
Yeah. I mean, would it be a full rebuild if you got Donovan
Mitchell?
That's
what I'm saying. It's a retool. It's a retool.
You can't rebuild.
So you trade Ingles, you trade Bogdanovich probably, right? Or let him go.
You trade Conley. You get you one of these young point guards out here, somebody who could play 70 games.
I will make
$30 million a year.
I will say this. The Jazz cannot go through a rebuild anytime at any point in the next 4 years because you're trying to get Donovan Mitchell to that third contract.
Sure, right.
And that's just simple as that. And
yeah, no, I don't think they would like trade everybody and start over and go through the draft. What I'm saying is that this group that's been together that we've seen kind of go into the playoffs. They would have to change it up. They'd have to make some changes.
I would, if the Jazz fall short this year, I would expect there to be a major name in the top eight of this group to not be there next year. I don't know who.
Yeah.
But it will be somebody.
It won't be Donovan, but it could be anybody else.
But
it'll
be somebody. It won't be Donovan or Rudy, but it'll be somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Curious is. Where would Quinn be in that? I'm pretty sure he's safe, but would he have a say in like, all right, if we're gonna retool, here's what I need.
I think Quinn has as big a voice in the organization that he's ever had at this point.
Right. Because Dennis Lindsay's gone, right? So
yeah, something like
and
that.
And I don't think we're telling any. I don't think we're telling any tales out of
don't
school.
Take me down this road.
Nah. I mean, it's over now. I mean, it's not like it's not. It wasn't out there. It's out there. They didn't.
No.
They didn't get along. Those two. Yeah. And now Quinn won. So, well, I shouldn't say he won. I'll just say Quinn's still there. Let's put
Quinn
it that way.
Quinn didn't lose. He didn't lose. That's what he didn't do.
Man, you guys are killing me. You know I got to live with these people, right?
Man, they got to live. Hey, they got to live with you.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I just put it this way. They obviously last year fully embraced, hey, we're going to shoot a ton of threes. That's what we're going to start doing right now. That's what Quinn wanted them to do. They started doing that. Is there anything this year that you see he's further kind of putting his stamp on how they're going to play?
Yeah, you know, I saw them bring in Gay and Pascal, which are, you know, yeah. So they've made a point, a conscious effort to bring in some wings. Okay. They brought in Malik Fitz and gave him a two-way. They brought in Derek Austin Jr. To training camp and gave him an Exhibit 10. So now you're bringing in one wing as your prize free agent signing. You bring in another wing via trade. You bring in another wing and give him a two-way. You brought in Justin James, who was another wing.
Yes.
And then, you know, you cut him during training camp. And you bring in another wing in Derek Austin Jr. and give him an Exhibit 10. The Jazz were not wing-centric under Dennis Lindsay. And now, you know, you're seeing them on the roster and below the roster, taking a chance and trying to find wings. So, you know, that's probably one of the biggest roster shifts structurally that I'm kind of seeing. You know, and you know, the athleticism, you know, with Pascal and Gay and the more of a commitment to defense, but they're trying to do it obviously without sacrificing anything that made them good, which is the shooting.
It's a
real balance that they're trying to strike, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how they do it.
The last thing I definitely want to ask you before you go, I gotta find out what the heck what is Dwayne Wade doing there, and have you kicked it with him yet? Have you shown Wade and his wife, like, what it really do in Salt Lake?
What is it really doing in Salt Lake?
That was a long-ass pause. When did Marcus...
Pause and reposture.
Why don't you come take this hike with me up Cottonwood Canyon? That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Listen, I've been here for 12 years, so I love Utah, and I love the beauty of it. I love the scenery of it. But this is not DC where I can go to Club Park or I can go to U Street and just walk.
Well, U Street different now.
Just saying.
It ain't the U Street you remember, Tony.
U Street ain't your street no more.
There's
no Ben's Chili Bowl in Salt Lake, man. So.
Right. I got you.
So
got you.
Is he bringing a vibe, or is he just sitting there like, is it just like it always was?
Shocked at how day-to-day Dwayne Wade has become.
I was really okay. I was curious about that. Yeah,
like you see him. I mean, and you know, not shocked that he's become day to day, but you know, shocked because the definition of a minority owner is that, you know, that's the voice in the background. And,
right,
you know, you see players become minority owners and have minority stakes all the time, but they're not, but, you know, they're not visible on a day-to-day basis. You know, Dwayne Wade is visible. Like, he's a visible part of the franchise. Like, he's there at community events. He's there at games. He's, you know, and I can tell you, he's got a voice in the organization. You know, so he's, you know, I'm impressed, actually. Like, I'm actually really impressed because, like, he's taking it seriously. Like, this is not just, you know, an investment for him.
It's not ceremonial.
Right, it's not ceremonial. Yeah. Like, he's there, he's putting in the work, and you can tell that he's embracing it. And, you know, and I think that's really impressive. And, you know, I'm just going to, you know, as journalists, we are supposed to be not opinionated, but I'm going to give my opinion on this. I love what he did with Zaire.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
Facts.
Because.
You mean.
I just like to see.
You mean like raising him? Like what?
No, getting.
No, I'm judging you. Getting him drafted. Putting
him on.
I wanted you to say it.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's like, man, I love that he fed his kid. Like,
hey, listen, man. Listen, if I was in a position to put my kid on, I'm going to put my kid on.
Right, right.
Hold on. There hasn't been, like, opposition to that or anything.
No, but, I mean, obviously there's been talk about it. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm all for it. Like, good for him. Good for Zaire.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree.
You know?
No, I have no... No.
Zaire can play, though.
Zaire definitely can play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, he can play, but I understand what you're saying, Tony. I do. You know, don't run away from it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it is, you know, embrace it.
I mean, I felt like he underdid it. That dude would have been, right. Be like, all right, so we got another owner here.
So you were,
this is now Zaire Arena. No.
Right. Oh,
man.
All right, we're going to let Tony Jones go because he has to go back to Salt Lake City because, you know, now we've made it hard on him, you know. Make it hard on him. I love the SLC. You know, I've had big fun there.
To
over
recap,
the
Jazz are soft and there's nothing to do there. Basically, right. That's what Tony said, right?
I definitely did not say there's nothing to do there. I just said the club scene there is not like the club scene is in New York or Miami or whatever.
Right.
We're just trying to make it hard for you to go home. That's it.
Exactly. That's it. Just trying to make it uncomfortable. But, you know. But he owns Salt Lake City. Marcus
And he thinks the Warriors will sweep the Jazz.
Oh, there we go. That's what'll get me in a no-fly zone.
Exactly right. That's what'll get you. That's exactly what'll get you. Did he say the war once? You cannot show the Warriors no love in Salt Lake.
Oh, man. There's no love for the Warriors in Salt Lake. Nah.
No, sir.
Actually,
that goes back away.
No, I'll tell you what. Like, so my daughter asked me for tickets. And, you know, sometimes the writers get some of the overflow tickets or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, but if you ask for an overflow ticket, you ask, the unwritten rule is you ask for an overflow ticket to the Pistons. You know.
Right. Well, of course.
Right.
Sure, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Oklahoma City's in town.
That should be the only overflow.
You know, so
ain't no overflow, like, when LeBron come to town.
So last year, you know, she's like, Dad, can you give me tickets? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I can get you tickets to a game or whatever. You know, she was like, well, do you mind if I bring Marika and Taya? Those are her two best friends. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Next thing you know, Marika and Taya's mom, they're on the phone. So you got tickets to the Golden State game? Because, you know, everybody wants to see this. And I was like, what?
That's why I don't do this. That's why I don't get tickets for nobody no more.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Just, it's so, annoying.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, it's
yes.
so annoying. First of all, you don't get tickets for dudes. That's my rule. That's just my rule. You blame me.
He got
me.
The Marshawn Lynch rule.
I can't be getting the tickets for dudes now. I just can't.
Oh, God, man.
No, if I have a friend of mine who's a woman and she wants tickets and she wants to bring her girlfriend, fine. I have no problem with that. I'll get you two tickets. You know, I can't promise you where they'll be, but I ain't bringing Roy. And, you know, no, that ain't happening. And then they call and say, and then they want better tickets. Well, these are in the 400s. Could you get us down near the floor? See, this is when I get angry.
Right.
Yeah, the ticket game is too much, man. Ticket game too much. That's one of the early lessons.
I was just trying to be a good dad. Like, I was just trying to be
absolutely. For the kids, yeah.
For the kids, of course. Yeah.
But Tony, that's the low-key secret that they don't want to talk about Salt Lake. They kind of love Steph in Salt Lake.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you.
And they hate the Warriors, but they love Steph.
So she ended up getting to the game. And I don't know how they did it, but she got row 10.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, oh, that's that Tony Jones hookup right
there. You know
what I'm
saying?
I'm talking about.
We got to take care of Tony Jones.
What? I mean, got him row 10, got him in the tunnel after the game. Like,
Dwayne Wade stopped by and said, what's up?
See, Dwayne wasn't there at the time.
Y'all want a picture?
Oh, but it was they were just freaked out. Like, they love Steph. They was taking all sorts of photos. They just love Steph. So, you know, but they hate the Warriors and they hate Draymond. So if I said,
they boo Draymond twice. Is that what you said?
Oh, man. I still remember that. I think it was the 2017 playoff series, Durant's first year.
Yeah.
And man, they was killing Draymond in Salt Lake the entire game.
What was the saying? Remember they said something about no nightlife or something like that? T-shirts everywhere.
Iggy said that.
Yeah. But it's T-shirts everywhere. Like, they were ready for the Warriors.
They really shouldn't have did the T-shirts.
They really took that to heart.
Like, they was getting swept regardless.
Yeah.
You know, it was just. You know, they should do the nightlife T-shirts if they meet in the playoffs this year because, like, they have a better chance.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't be talking trash to, like, one of the greatest teams of all time, right?
You probably
need to relax a little bit.
You guys are on the level of the 96 Chicago Bulls, but nightlife.
That's what I'm saying. Right, like, exactly. It's like Steph and KD. Like,
that's like
when
Run TMC did that to the Lakers? And Magic got mad when they brought out Run DMC to introduce him. And Magic got mad and said, you don't do that to the Lakers.
I remember.
And they killed him in that game. Oh, my God.
I think every game in that series was like 153 to 149. There was no defense being played in that series.
It was all bad.
Don Nelson just said, F it. I don't care.
Like,
don't even try to play.
Definitely leaned into the offensive side of the ball.
Right. But it was fun.
The Lakers was like, oh, y'all think y'all fast.
Right. Exactly.
I got Worthy and Scott on the way.
Right. Exactly.
Let's go. Let's see how quick
y'all want to do this? Really?
Yeah, let's go. Let's run it then. Let's run it.
Tony, man, thank you for stopping by, my brother.
Please stay safe out there. Appreciate that.
Of course. We'll be dipping in again during the season, I'm sure, and before the playoffs, see how things are going. And for all the rest of y'all listening out there, thank you for listening. Please leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you pick up this fine podcast. And Marcus always tells the people, Tony, every week, if it ain't 5 stars, Marcus, what do they do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters.
Later.
Okay, guys, I gotta tell you a story. Hold on, I gotta tell y'all a story real quick. So in Vegas.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.